This is exciting times to be a part of what God is doing, and I'm just grateful to be a part of what God is doing here at our University Boulevard family. We are launching a new series called Exploring Galatians, and so over the next three-ish months, we are going to go through the book of Galatians, break down certain sections of the letter for us. But here's the big idea I pray that we keep in mind. It's really the central verse of freedom here in Galatians, and it's Galatians 5, verse 1 for us that I want to keep in light in our minds every single week, and it's this: for freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You see, this idea of freedom will be prevalent each and every week through sections of this letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. What are we freed by, which we'll talk about this week? How, what we are freed through, and in the following weeks from there, we'll talk about what we are freed towards, what we are freed to life in Christ in. And so I pray for this series that we have a right definition of freedom in view as we start out. You see, if I was reading this verse prior to knowing anything about who Jesus is, I would use this freedom as a license really to indulge myself, to make it about me. But that's not the freedom God has designed us to experience. You see, true freedom is to live out God's design, God's way in our lives. And we will explore that definition of freedom over these next couple months. And see, over these next couple of months as well, you'll see, starting in May, we're going to have different teachers up here teaching. We'll have some of our elders teaching. We'll have some from within our church body who have the gift of teaching, and also some of our staff, just to give us different perspectives about what the Word says, and we'll be better because of it, because we're flexing the muscle of our own people. And so we'll be teaching, there'll be different teachers starting in May for that. So I just wanted to prep you guys for what's to come, and I'm excited for what God wants to do. But we are going to be going through the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. So it's important for us to understand the context in which this letter is being written. So the author, like I mentioned to you before, is the Apostle Paul. He is writing this deeply passionate letter. And he's going to be calling out some things, because what's happening in the church in Galatia is there's questioning about Paul's authenticity as a true apostle, because he didn't walk with the apostles during Jesus' time here. So there's question on Paul's authenticity as a true leader of the way of following Jesus. And also, there is these things happening where there's the people in the churches of Galatia, there's different people. So there's some Jewish believers who have that the understanding of they believe Jesus, but they also believe in the traditions and the circumcision, all these different issues. So they're there, but there's also these non-Jewish believers, these Gentiles that heard about the gospel of just Jesus alone, and they got saved. And so there's these two factions of people. When Paul, after gets them planting these churches, there's these two factions of people, and what they're saying, these Jewish believers are saying, no, it's not just Jesus alone, it's Jesus plus tradition. It's Jesus plus your performance. It's Jesus plus, and they're causing confusion among the churches there. And so Paul is writing into this idea, and he is deeply passionate, and he's going to be calling out some of these things. But this week, we'll start with this idea in mind. I mentioned this idea of freedom, but this week we'll talk about this with the idea that we are freed by grace alone. We are freed by grace alone, and that's how Paul will start his letter. And so let's read together. If you have your Bibles, Galatians 1, we'll start off in 1 through 5. We'll go through chapter 1 today, but we'll read together. It says this: Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What do we see from this opening statement from Paul to the Galatian church? Because during this time, when someone wrote a letter, the opening statement would set the tone for what was going to be taught. So two items stick out that Paul writes. One is this idea that he is an apostle because of not man, nor through man, but because of Jesus alone choosing him by his grace. Secondly, what sticks out is he is writing this letter and he's extending grace and peace to these people. And that grace is a display of God's gospel. He writes it in verse 4 where it said about Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. He lays out the gospel of grace right from the get-go. And that made me question, what is the gospel of grace he puts forward to these churches? And in order to understand that, we must understand what grace actually is. We must understand what grace actually is. You see, a part of my story, which grace has followed me all of my life in some way, shape, or form, because figuratively, I got saved under a Grace Assembly of God tent. I executive pastored at a Grace Chapel, and now somehow, by God's grace, I am here as the campus pastor of Grace Community Church. So grace has followed me even through my job titles and my roles. But really, grace has followed me my whole life in God's hand over my life, because prior to knowing Jesus at 17, I was someone who performed. I was someone who found my identity through my sexual relationships or my use of drugs and things of that nature. And by God's grace at 17, I learned the story that Jesus alone changed me. Jesus alone paid the cost for my story. So I experienced grace in my life at 17, and God has been on the move in my life ever since by the grace of God alone. You see, grace oftentimes has been talked about in church circles, and tell me if you haven't heard this definition, unmerited favor, right? And you understand it conceptually that God has given you a gift of himself that you don't deserve. He has performed perfectly, we can't. And God has given Jesus to us as the perfect performer, and we don't deserve that gift. It's unmerited. Or, if you've heard of the other definition, God's riches at Christ's expense, right? Have we not heard that definition of what grace is? God has given himself in full to us in the personal work of Jesus, and if we believe in him, we get his riches of life here and now. But it's hard for me to have those definitions because they seem more like concepts. They seem more like concepts. It's not an idea. And I believe what Paul puts on display is that the extension of grace is not in a concept, it's in a person. And if so, and we need to know grace as a person of Jesus. And I like to give this picture when I talk about grace. Like my wife, if she was the one up here singing, if you know her, her name is Alexa. She's literally the nicest human being in the entire earth. And she married me. So she has a lot of grace for me. She is simple yet forgiving and loyal to, and she would give herself, she has given herself in full to me, and it makes me look at her and she forgives me. Even if I were to do the most heinous thing to her, she would forgive me because that is just who she is. And it makes me see this picture of grace by looking in her eyes, and it's like, I don't want to do anything that hurts you because of how gracious and loving you are to me. It helps me visualize, when I think of grace, a person, when I look at my wife. But true grace is in the person and work of Jesus, and that is what Paul is putting on display here. One of my favorite dead authors that I like to quote often is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He talks about costly grace this way in the person of Jesus when he says, above all, grace is costly because it cost God the life of his son. You were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Costly grace is the incarnation, Jesus among us. You see, what Dietrich is laying out for us is this true idea that grace is seen in Jesus alone among humanity. Grace is a person, not just a concept. And when we understand that truth, it hits our hearts a little deeper. We understand grace truly as a person, but what is the gospel of grace? Every day of our lives, we should preach the gospel to ourselves, and we should, from the front, teach you what the gospel is, and it's this: God created you and me, humanity, in his image. He created us to walk with him. He created us in true freedom to lovingly live within his boundaries, and he was with us, and he gave us purpose, and he gave us meaning, and there was no sin, there was no fall, there was no brokenness. And we decided to be gods ourselves. We decided to exchange God's loving boundaries and God's loving relationship, and we took that which we were not supposed to take. He gave us strict rules around because he loved us, and we chose to go our own way, and we've been living with the repercussions ever since. Brokenness in relationship, brokenness in life, brokenness in our souls and our hearts. But God, being rich in mercy, at just the right time sent that which was most precious to him, Jesus, to take on our sin, to live perfectly, to die on a cross, to take the penalty of our sin, and God raised him from the dead on the third day, overcoming sin, death, and the grave, and we get to live in light of that account if we believe in him as Lord. That is the gospel of grace, and we get to turn from sin and live in true freedom as he had designed as new creations with him. That is the gospel of grace for our souls today. What Paul is saying is that by the gospel of grace, Christ has set me free to be an apostle. He has set me free to write this letter to you, to shake you up, because he loves us. And he's writing it to help them understand what the gospel of grace is, and it's in Jesus alone. The question is, do we as individuals today know the gospel of grace as a person or merely a good idea? Do we know the gospel of grace as Jesus alone and grace alone, or do we know grace as a mere idea that we assent to? One transforms your entire life. One is just a mental exercise that we never truly experience any life change. Paul is setting the stage here in the beginning of Galatians, for the gospel of grace is what truly frees us towards true freedom. And that's the good news today. But what Paul writes next in the following verses is what's hindering the people of the churches in Galatia, and also what hinders our understanding of the gospel of grace. And what is that? Well, I'll explain through some imagery here, but how many of you know tomorrow, because it's been over the news, there's going to be this thing called an eclipse that's happening? I don't know if you know. Shocker, I know. It's been talked about for the past 4 years, it sounds like. But it's happening tomorrow. And we will have a total eclipse, and it's going to be exciting. 100,000 people, they're estimating, coming just to Tyler to experience this event. Depending on if the weather cooperates, if we'll actually see it in full. But how many of you know you need glasses to view this, right? And these glasses are two pairs of glasses that I was given to view this. And one of our own, if you don't know, just a heads up, don't look at it directly without glasses. It has some pretty devastating effects. One of our own, Dr. Max Sue, who's among our church family, he is an eye doctor, and he put a video out about what it does, and it burns the back. If you look at it directly without proper eye care, it will burn the back of your retina. So just a heads up, don't look at it through a cell phone. This is just straight up. You have to wear these glasses. But what he also said was very important. You see, these glasses look the same. They generally, the only thing different between them is the patterns, but one's a fake, one's true. And how do you know if they're truly glasses that is by the certification, this ISO certification you need to look for to view it and experience the eclipse in full? But I bought these ones, and I've been told they are fakes. And here's what happened. If I were to put these ones on, I wouldn't be able to experience it all, and I would have permanent damage from putting these on, but these are being peddled out there. The same truth goes with what's hindering the gospel of grace. And here's what it is: false gospels. The false gospels that we believe hinder our understanding of the gospel of grace today. And that is what Paul is writing to in this next section. In verses 6 through 9, let's read it together. He writes this: "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." What Paul is speaking at is what I mentioned at the beginning, is that these Jewish believers are saying, hey, no, to these non-Jewish, to these Gentile believers, he's saying, no, it's not just Jesus, it's Jesus plus circumcision that will bring you true freedom. No, it's not just Jesus, it's plus your performance of the religious traditions of Jewish law that will bring you true freedom. So they're adding on to the simple gospel of grace alone that Paul laid out when he planted these churches. And he's saying there's no other gospel. And it's hindering their understanding of true life and true freedom. And I believe today we are still living in with false gospels among our midst that hinder us from understanding the gospel of grace. What are some of those gospels? One, the prosperity gospel. Within churches, and I'm not from this area, but coming from New York, even in New York, we had this prosperity gospel that it's Jesus, but I will be healthy, wealthier, and without issues or suffering of any sort. Heads up, Jesus suffered himself, and he said there will be suffering, there will be brokenness, but I will be with you in the midst of it. What other false gospels do we believe? One big one, we're heading into an election season. The political gospel, weaponizing the gospel of Jesus for our own political ends and means. Jesus plus Trump in office. Jesus plus Biden in office. Jesus plus being Republican or Democrat. Well, and what we really say when we say that is it's not Jesus that secures our freedom. It's a presidential candidate, it's a government official, or it's a party. And then we throw Jesus on top of that. And we hold more to worshiping the political party. And we weaponize the gospel towards our own political ends. And that is false and evil. Because Jesus alone, no matter what situation comes, he gives us true freedom under whichever administration so happens to be there. What other gospels do we believe? Another one is the personal gospel that when I get saved, I become the center of the story instead of Jesus being the hero. I believe that I view and filter the scriptures through how it benefits me instead of how it makes much of him. And it's self-help just for me and my own gain. And that is evil too. And lastly, permissive grace, amongst many others. That when Jesus saves me, now I'm good to commit whatever sin and indulge my sin because I'm covered. Grace of God covers me and I'm good. No, that's a lie. If anything, when we discover true grace, it should cause us to be like, why are we giving ourselves to our brokenness and our sin? You see, these false gospels are proliferated throughout our churches and even our own hearts. And if we aren't careful, it hinders us from understanding the true gospel of grace. And I didn't mention this during first service, but it's why, and even Paul calls it out, it's why I want, when I teach or when anyone teaches from here, I want you to search the scriptures yourself. I want you to, because who knows what's going on in my heart, and I'm very protective of preaching to you truly about grace alone and Christ alone. But you should test what I'm saying. Otherwise, it says, like Paul is saying, let them be accursed. He's holding what is being taught in high esteem. And he's saying it's a curse on them if they're teaching anything other than Jesus is the center of the story. Sift the scriptures for yourself. Let us love and run in loving community and work with one another to understand truly who Jesus is and what, because we don't know, and I want to continue to hold up the true gospel by grace alone. You see, what Paul realizes, why he's so passionate in this beginning part of his letter, is because he knows the gospel of Christ alone is the sole secure of our true freedom. Nothing more and nothing less. It's all about him, and he is vehemently opposed to those pulling them away from that core message that we are freed by grace alone in Christ alone, because he is our sole hope, he is our sole life, he is our sole freedom. My question for you today, is there any false gospels hindering your freedom by grace today? Is there any false gospels that you're holding on to that I believe that if I accepted Jesus, I would not be without issue? Maybe it's a false gospel that you've come to believe instead of the true gospel of grace alone, and he will carry you through whatever situation you're in. What false gospels are hindering your growth in knowing Jesus today? In this last section, in verses 11 through 24, it's Paul laying out his story for us. So he laid out the story, what the gospel of grace was. He called out the fact that there's false gospels that are in their midst, but now he's laying out that him being called by God, really talking about true freedom that was afforded because of what Jesus has done. And so I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to set up his story for you. It says this, it talks about how he didn't receive man's gospel, but the true gospel of grace. How Paul was formerly a persecutor of the church of Christ, of following the way, and he was a murderer. And how he was the most zealous among the zealous of Jewish believers and Jewish people who kept the law. But then by God's grace, Jesus was revealed to him truly. And he revealed Paul's true purpose, which was go to preach the truth of who Jesus was to the Gentile church. And what he didn't go is just go. He waited 3 years and let God work deeper into his heart. And then he went to Peter, James, John, and the other apostles and say, this is what God has done. And then what did he do? He went and preached the gospel, planted so many churches, wrote most of our New Testament, and the people marveled that this once person who prosecuted the faith is now the founding father of a lot of the churches that existed in this time and space. The gospel of grace did the work. And people marveled. It was showing them that the gospel of grace will free him towards true freedom. In my life too, like I mentioned before, God drastically changed my life, allowed me to see my true purpose and true freedom. And you may not have Paul's story, you may not have my story, but you have a story. And I've been around people long enough, well, I don't really have a testimony of what the grace of God doing a whole bunch in my life because I grew up in a Christian house. That's a testimony in and of itself. That God's grace protected you, had parents that loved you, raised you, in not perfectly, but within a Christian household, where presented the gospel and kept you from the evils of the world around you and presented an environment. That is the grace of God in your life, and that's a great testimony. And that has allowed you to experience true freedom if you believe in Jesus as Lord. And so, in reading this last section, it's because Paul was freed by grace towards true freedom in Christ that people marveled. He was freed from shame, from killing, because Christ paid for it. He was freed from performance and ritual because it was the grace of Christ alone that changed him. He was freed from his past resume because of the grace of Christ applied to him. He was freed by grace towards true freedom, which caused him to share that with everyone else, and people glorified. He was freed by grace towards true freedom. The other part of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote that I didn't speak earlier speaks to this idea of true freedom, true life. It says this. He writes, "It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life." Church, the gospel of grace frees you towards true life and freedom, because that's the only thing that will bring life to your whole being and bring you back to the person you were created to know. Today, we must know the only thing that will provide true freedom is when you are freed by the gospel of grace of Jesus. And my call to you today, if you are in this room and someone dragged you here and you don't know the story of grace today, the good news is you can. The good news is that he paid a price. He came to you. You can't earn your way to him. And if you don't know him, you may think that you're living in true freedom, but if anything, it's going to lead to brokenness and disaster, and it will at some point. But God lovingly came to you, performed perfectly. If you believe in him, you get Jesus' record applied to you, and you can live and start to be freed by the grace of God and live in true freedom as you were designed. And if you do know Christ today, if you find your walk with Jesus stifled, disappointed, hindered today, this is harsh, but you might be believing a false gospel that was never the true gospel of grace that he called you to believe. If you find yourself away from him or feeling like he's distant, he's not, but just check your heart to say, "Hey, Spirit of God, how am I not believing the true gospel you have extended to me?" He's calling you to know the gospel of grace. He's calling you to know what hinders it, which is false gospels, and he's calling you to be freed by grace towards true freedom in life that is only found in him. And here's what will happen as you do. People will marvel for what God is doing in your life. And they will be like, "Tell me about this Jesus and this true church." Let's close in prayer. God, you are a gracious God. I thank you for changing Paul's life, calling him out of darkness and saving him. And by the grace of God, you saved him, and we are recipients of the person he knows in Jesus. God, I thank you that you have called many of us in this room from darkness into true light. And it is your grace and your grace alone that saves us. It's because you sent your son, and he walked perfectly to death on a cross, took on the wrath of the sin and the brokenness that a holy God, we couldn't be in right relationship, but you took that penalty of sin on, and you didn't stay dead, but God, you raised your son from the dead to overcome sin, death, and the grave, and that account is applied to us, of which we don't deserve. That is grace in and of itself. And God, you've made our dead bones come to life, and we can glorify you today, giving you the glory back that you are due, because you did all the work and we just submitted to it. And God, I pray that we sift our hearts by your Spirit of the false gospels that we have believed, so that we can truly know true freedom that is only found in Christ alone. And that we can share this good news with the world around us. And God, I pray for hearts that don't know you in this room. Help them to repent and trust into your lordship of their lives. And help our hearts today grow deeper by your Spirit into your gospel of grace, of which we don't deserve. And marvel that you would choose us to be a part of your kingdom here and now and forever. We are grateful for you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church, let's stand and sing in response to the gospel of grace today.